just going to jump straight in and start now. Start talking.
Candy, this could be the start.
Sam. So what is it? The little theme tune's just been. Are we going to add that? We're not.
Yeah. I'll add that. I'll do it separate. Yeah.
Okay. So thanks for everyone who's tuned in to listen right now. I'm Max.
Yeah, I'm Hamish.
And this is the Projection Podcast.
You said it right that time.
Yeah, I did say it right.
Yeah, first episode, we don't really know what we're going to talk about exactly this time. It's not going to be a focused episode. We're just going to see how it goes, chat a bit, ask you guys what you want to hear next time, what guests you want to have on. But yeah, just explore podcasting.
Yeah, for sure. And like, some key subjects what we're going to speak about in the future is just like about me, our journeys, and what and about Hamish's not about me, but about myself and like just funny stories about Hamish and like our plans and post competitions and pre competitions and just how we're getting on with training and stuff. And you can ask about diet and all that stuff, which we could dive deep in. And
we got a lot to share, don't we?
Yeah, and we got stuff we won't share as well, because that's our secrets, but we'll try and share as much as we want and possible to help you guys as well, innit?
Of course, especially now when everyone's got tons of free time, not really doing anything. You've got no excuse not to listen.
Yeah, no excuse to tune in for like however long we're going to be doing this, and how frequently as well.
Yeah, exactly. We were thinking probably weekly, because yeah. I don't know, don't want to overload everyone, but yeah, weekly sounds good.
I think it'd be cool as well to give like a weekly recap on our week and just speak about what we've been doing as well. That'd be interesting. I think
people I mean, at the moment it's gonna be I slept until 10, got up, trained, ate some more, went back to bed.
Yeah,
it's not gonna be the most exciting, but after this weird situation is over, we do actually have some quite interesting lives.
Yeah, we do. Well, I feel like our lives are still pretty interesting to the people who may not be training and focused, have focused goals like we do.
Yeah, realizing that even when you're basically locked in a house, you can still train. I mean, it's not really an excuse not to work in, or just, I can't go to the climbing wall, so I'm basically forced to rest. It's not like that. So hopefully some of you listening will realize that there's still stuff you can be getting on with, basically, in any situation. Someone's always got it better. Someone's always got a better training facility. Just got to work with what you've got.
Yeah, for sure. Because we're both really lucky that we have home walls, and there's like, we know like Aidan Dunn, who we train with, and he's on coached by the same people we're coached by, our coaches, Mark Granny and Ellie Precision. He does not have a home wall, so like, yeah, we're all in the same boat, but people have it worse and people have it better, because
you've seen Aidan on the outside of his house,
in it,
the accommodation, and he's still managing to train, and everyone is, if they've got the drive.
Yeah,
like if you've got the correct mindset, you're not going to be just doing sitting nothing at home doing it for yourself. Exactly.
Eating ice cream and not fucking doing your sit-ups.
You can do both. That's the best part.
Yeah,
you've got forced rest now, but you've also got a lot of time to pay attention to basically your weaknesses, stuff that you don't normally work. Like, I'm realizing now that when I'm not at the climbing wall, I'm spending way longer stretching, more mobility stuff, more rehab. Like, it's just really taking the time to focus on stuff that you usually just kind of pass up. When you get to the climbing wall, you just want to get training, you just want to get your session done. But when you've got nothing else to do, I don't know, you kind of focus more on stuff you wouldn't usually.
You have more time to think, don't you?
Yeah, that's a big thing.
You're not at school anymore, so like tell us about that, innit?
Well, this was very fortunate. I've in my A level, in my last year of A level, so I would have had exams in about a month's time. So yeah, I've been doing well at school, like focusing a lot, putting lots of effort in, which is quite hard alongside training, because I'd spend probably 5 hours at school a day and also be training 5 hours a day or 4 hours a day. So it's completely splitting attention, and it was hard work. Just stuff you wouldn't think about, like spending that much time revising or writing or sitting down. It just really messes with your posture, and you're like, just, yeah, my lower back was just sore. I was all a bit tight and not doing too well, like in that sense, but still pushing through training. So yeah, when I found out that exams were going to be cancelled, it just meant that I could suddenly only focus on one thing, and that was such a nice surprise to me. While everyone else around me was crying, like, oh no, exams, we're going to get bad grades, not going to be able to go to uni, I was just sat there quietly enjoying the situation, because it was like, it's the biggest stressor, having two massive things like A levels. I know it may not sound as stressful as competing or anything like that, because everyone does it. It's still so big when you're the type of person who wants to do well in every aspect of life. Like, I can't half-ass anything. So with A levels, I'm not gonna just coast through and get enough grades to get by and then put all my effort in climbing. I'm still wanting to do well in education. So yeah, once I've only got one thing to focus on now, it's such a relief, and I can spend a lot more time, as you say, thinking, reflecting on climbing, life in general, training properly, stretching. Yeah, it's so nice to just be able to divert all your attention into one aspect of life.
Yeah, it's proper cool. And it is, in a way, this whole situation for us, and I feel like for everyone as well, if you proper take a step back and look at what you have and what you can build on, it is a blessing in a way, because we can, if you use your time wisely and actually figure out what you can do to improve, then it is a blessing, because you can just improve.
100%. You just have to have the right mindset to see it like that. And again, we are in a very privileged position, not only with a home gym, but with a home that you can spend hours on end at, like locked in your house and still be comfortable. Like, I'm sure there's people out there who not only can't train as effectively, but also are stuck in a house that they can't really live in that nicely for months at a time. So yeah, whilst we are extremely lucky in that respect, it's still important, no matter what situation you're in, to see this as an opportunity rather than prison.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like, look, and you hear, you think like, oh, I'm locked in my house, all this, blah, 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 and you dwell on the bad stuff, and you just, but if you think like, you're only locked in your house, you're not really locked in. You can go out for one piece of exercise a day, you can go out and get food, you can do all that. But also, when a nice, everyone's in a house with running water, well, most people in a house with running water, you got Wi-Fi, you got all this stuff, then there's people in like North Africa who are in way worse situations, and we just kind of forget about that, innit? And
I think it was in Greece, there was a refugee camp that has now been diagnosed with cases of coronavirus, and you just can't imagine that, like, they can't stay at home because they don't have a home to stay at, and it's such a crowded place. And yeah, you basically, if you're lucky enough to have a house to be locked in, you shouldn't.
We're not even locked in, it's chill.
I know, it's chilling. Chill, but I mean, even if we were, even if Boris Johnson turned around and said, right, you're not allowed to leave the house, you have to get food delivery, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's inconvenient, but that's the worst of it. I mean, it's not really unfair in any respect. It's just doing your part to deal with a circumstance that is not that's not able to be foreseen by anyone, really. And if you're complaining about it, you're basically complaining that nature ha makes viruses. That's like, this is the best way to deal with the situation. It's not like they're just making you stay in your house for jokes, is it?
No, but then again, we're still in this privileged place, and we're not really affected by it too much, so we can't completely relate to all of them, and it'd be a hard situation to be in with people who have mental health as well issues, I feel, which if they're getting told they have to stay inside, that could cause more problems. If like they shut one piece of exercise down as well, that would be pretty bad, I think.
Yeah,
But that's all
definitely.
just
It's
stuff,
hard
isn't
to
it?
think of. I mean, there's going to be people who are in way worse situations than us that I can't speak on behalf of. But as a general, I think most people who are complaining are the people who shouldn't be complaining, and the people
Yeah,
who
I
are really
agree.
suffering aren't making, or well, aren't being the ones who are heard.
Yep. I totally agree. So, what have you been doing to basically just cope with quarantine then?
Well, basically what we said at the start, just sleeping, eating and training, and setting up a podcast. I don't know if I told you about that.
Exciting, isn't it? I'm well psyched to see where this goes, isn't it?
Same, I've got
It's been
absolutely no idea, really. I mean, I enjoy
no. I just love like
sleeping.
listening to podcasts,
Yeah,
and we
same.
always share podcasts together, and we're just like, yeah, man,
We're
let's
always set.
do it.
May as well. Got nothing better to be doing.
Yeah, isn't it?
I
Not
mean,
got training to be doing.
yeah, there's plenty of free time.
Yeah,
Rest
man.
important. Yeah, especially on a rest day like today. I've got, well, absolutely nothing that I'm supposed to be doing. It's a, yeah, rest one day a week, full rest. So that's going to be our
Same,
filming day, I think, or recording day.
yeah, it's good that we both have our same rest days on a Friday. We can put all our energy into just doing this and editing stuff and making it, polishing off the audio and making it good for people to listen. It'll be cool.
And hopefully next year me and Max are gonna get a house together with Aiden. That's the plan. And
Yeah,
then we
man.
can it'll be a lot better when we're in the same room recording.
Yeah, and we can actually get footage of us, which we can upload to YouTube,
Who
which
doesn't
would be
want to see our
cool.
face is?
I know, see us munch on some food whilst we speak about
Is that what
training
about?
and all
Yeah.
that.
Also,
Cool.
Max, just I'm gonna edit this out, but I need to blow my nose.
Savage.
Maybe I shouldn't edit out.
I don't think you should, or you should just put like a sound on it, like a funny, like high
Yeah.
pitched sound over it. That'd be funny.
Oh Christ, hay fever season is hitting me hard.
Yeah, I saw
Whew.
this thing, man. It's like the pollen, it's the highest pollen count in 7 or 8 years.
Well, that explains it.
I
I'm
swear on
fine.
down, everybody's getting like hay fever. Well, everyone who has fever is getting
Yeah.
really bad at the moment.
So
Man.
yeah, I'm gonna cover up the sounds of me blowing my nose with some other noise I'm yet to describe.
With Adam on just screaming.
Yeah, whenever you hear Adam Andre just scream, I'm blowing my nose, which is going to be quite often. So yeah, prepare yourself.
Okay, I've got a question for you, bro.
Okay.
What is one tip you would give the people listening how to use their time effectively during quarantine?
Okay, I've got a big one that I've neglected for the first week, kind of on purpose,
Cool.
because I was just so tired of school. I just wanted a bit of a holiday for a week. So I didn't set any alarm. I went to bed late, just chatting to people, watching Netflix all the time, reading, that sort of thing. But recently, in the last week or something, I have started to set an alarm, trying to get into a better routine. Like, if you set an alarm for the morning, you'll go to bed at a sensible time. So just planning out a day, like planning out what you're going to be doing, just so you don't end up wasting it. Because I found I would basically get up and then do absolutely nothing and then go to bed. But now I'm getting up and I was doing my training before, but nothing productive other than that. So now I, in between training sessions, I'm doing something other than just sitting about, lying in bed, watching stuff. So yeah, just having like a structure to your day. Otherwise, you just see it as a holiday and you don't really do anything. That's what I found.
For sure. Yeah, I was, my tip would have been as well, just make a routine. Like, for me, it's super important to have a routine. Like, I've got myself a morning routine, which I do every single morning. And I'm actually filming a video about that, which will be posted on City Block Instagram page later on, maybe this week. So if you want to see that and see what my morning routine is, check that out. Because I just find it's so, like, it's just good habits straight away at the start of the day. And it just sets me up so I can be more productive. I can tell you what they are if you use one. It's just like I get up, I make my bed. Like, it's just small, simple things. I make my bed, I open my curtains, I go downstairs, I'll have a glass of water with some sea salt in there. Just because hydration, man. Like, I've been in bed for like 9 hours sleeping and you just get the minerals.
Sorry, Andrea. Carry on.
Are you done?
For now.
It's sound. So yeah, just minerals from the soul, which is essential, and the hydration from the water. And then I'll go upstairs and do my 20-minute meditation and have a cup of tea, man. And that is
simple but effective.
And it's just nice to. Oh, and I also don't go my phone for that little time either, straight in the morning. And it's just, I feel like you just get into a habit of scrolling and just surfing on Instagram and whatever. And you can just sit there for hours and you're just swiping down, down, down. And it's just not productive and you're not achieving anything. Well, in my opinion, you're not achieving anything. It's just boring. You're not fulfilling what you want to do.
Not at all, you feel guilty. And everything about the whole situation is kind of rigged. I've been listening to a podcast recently and they were talking about, it was like I think the guest on it was one of Sam Harris's podcasts. And the guest was, his job role was like a technology ethicist or something at Google. And basically what that job entails was making sure that social media, or trying to make sure that social media isn't having such a negative effect on people's lives. And he was describing how it's all set up to be so addictive, and he was going into detail about the specific like systems that say Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook have in place to keep you scrolling. It's all like the whole currency of like software developers and apps like that is attention and time that you spend on your screen. So in order for them to profit as a business, which is ultimately their goal, is just by ensuring that you spend the maximum amount of time on their social media. And the people who are doing that are some of the smartest people in the world, working at like Facebook or Google. They're like super intelligent people that are looking at human psychology and like making these apps just to be the most addictive versions possible. Yeah, as hard as it is not to, you can't feel too hard on yourself if you do find yourself scrolling, because you're basically just falling into the system that they've put in place. So, yeah.
Just
So it's
falling into a
important, as
trap,
they
isn't
say,
it?
to have a
But I
structure
feel
to break that system. Like, say to yourself, I am not going to go on my phone for the first 20 minutes. Don't just say, I'm going to try not to. Like, set a clear boundary. But yeah, don't say, I'm going to try to spend less time on my
yeah.
phone. Say,
But how are you going to spend less
exactly.
time on your phone?
I mean,
That's the question,
if
isn't
you
it?
just say,
What are you
yeah.
going to do? Are you going to pick up a book? Are you going to do some meditation? Like, for me, it's meditation has helped so much because you're just more conscious of yourself and being present. So when I do start scrolling or whatever, or having just thoughts and I'm just lost in my thoughts, I'm just like, shit, what am I doing? And I'm just like, okay, I'm going to put my phone down
Yeah.
and do whatever. And it's helped me. I've started reading, which people who don't know me, like, bro, Hamish, tell them I'm not a reader, am I?
Max is definitely not a reader. Here's a good anecdote for you to describe the severity of Max's dyslexia. when we were brainstorming names for the podcast, or we were first going to do live videos on Instagram, just as like a bit of an introduction, but I think we're just going to skip straight to this. And we were discussing things to advertise ads or to call it. I was on a FaceTime call with Max. We're going, oh, what's some alliteration for a day of the week to do? And Max goes live Tuesday. I'm like, Max is absolutely no alliteration. Like, yeah, live Tuesday. I'm absolutely dying. I'm doing some conditioning outside. I think I'm doing like some pull-up sets outside. FaceTiming Max, I'm just absolutely losing.
And the thing is, I properly thought Tuesday was like start with an L, bro. It just in my head, they just worked, and I was so gassed. But
To have Max
it
reading
wasn't.
on his own accord is one of the biggest achievements of humanity, I think. I'm
No, but I really enjoy it as well. I'm
I
getting
can
into it
tell you're
like quite
much
a lot,
smarter
and
and
it's just like,
more aware than you used to be.
yeah, for sure, man. And it's just gonna help me so much as like a person
Yeah.
and an athlete as well. Just getting those good habits and
100%.
stuff.
There's always something
But
better you could be doing with your time.
always, you can eat better, you can sleep
Yeah,
better, you can
the thing with
just
humans are we're very
everything.
good at rationalizing what we do. So say you've got the choice to have a healthy meal or an unhealthy meal. You'll tell yourself, oh, I had a healthy meal yesterday, therefore I can have an unhealthy meal today. Or I went for a run today, therefore I can have the unhealthy meal today. Basically, every decision you will subconsciously or sometimes consciously rationalize your way into a bad decision.
Yeah, rationalize your bad behavior to
Exactly.
make it
Yeah.
better.
And when, like,
Yeah.
through meditation and awareness of your self, other than just being stuck inside your head, just responding to all your subconscious thoughts, be able to step back and see that, okay, I'm trying to rationalize this, but really, is it a good idea to have fish and chips for the third time this week? You can probably
Nope.
see, even though whilst initially you would have just given in to the temptation, oh, I'll be nice, I'll eat healthily tomorrow. Like, realizing that you're playing tricks on yourself will just allow you to live a better quality life in general, not just in diet or
Man.
training. But yeah, you'll start picking up on yourself doing this in tons of situations.
Yeah, and it's just about making the effort as well, because if you're not making the effort, it's not gonna happen, and you'll just see yourself in that slump doing them same behaviors over and over again. So it's like, even if you do that meditation and you feel like you can't clear your mind, you're still sitting there and doing it, where most people in this world do not have that routine and
Yeah.
do not make the effort. So if you're making the
With
effort,
most
you are
things,
improving.
like meditation is a good example, being
Yeah.
just cognizant or like aware of the goal in itself will help you achieve it. Like you sit down to meditate, you think, okay, I'm going to try and stop my thoughts. Even if you can't, which is very likely for the first however long it takes, just being aware of the goal and sitting down and focusing will benefit you and make it easier the next time. And I'm gonna blow my nose again, prepare for on the
Yeah.
screen. Funny story. My friend Cameron Smith, who I train at Red Goat in York, who made the what's it called? Intro song for this podcast.
Yeah,
Absolute legend.
shout out Cameron.
I just messaged him because I was looking at different intros, and I know he works in music production, and he's been making podcast jingles for people and all sorts. Anyway, yeah, I just messaged him, asked him if he'd be able to help us out, completely free of charge. Had a FaceTime session with him yesterday, described the podcast. Yeah, and he made an absolute banger intro. I'm gonna hopefully put his auto-tuned Andre screaming, which he's very proud of. He took a sample of one of Andre's screams and has auto-tuned it and made a little song out of it. So yeah, I feel I can't deprive the world of such pleasures.
It's funny that I am on FaceTime to him, and he was just like, "Oh no!" He's like, "Yeah, I've got 6 days left."
I right, just got a
He's
60
just
degree
like,
boilers off. He's like, oh, let me just show you it. Goes out, little hatch in his roof, pulls out a ladder. He's got like, I think he's got 100 boards that he bought. He's mad. And then in his,
man, a whole studio,
in the borders,
a whole
right
studio.
in the middle of nowhere in Northumberland, making beats, playing
That's
with
cool.
Lego, and training on his 60. That's a life I can get behind.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
Similar to
doing
ours,
what
isn't it?
you
Just
doing what you love, basically.
yeah, man. I feel like that's the biggest message I could ever give to someone is find
Yeah.
out what your passion is and do everything to make that happen.
Yeah.
Your job,
It's
basically.
not really a job
Well,
for us.
not even your job, but
If I wasn't getting paid, I'd
yeah,
still be
it's
doing
not.
it.
Like, we don't work. Yeah, and if we wasn't where we are and a professional athlete basically,
Yeah,
we are just
exactly.
training full time, innit? So I guess that's
Yeah.
what professionals do. But we're not making huge
Definitely
money,
not.
but we're not yet
Waiting
anyway,
for Apple
but
to sponsor me, yeah.
we're in a position, yeah, innit? We're in a position where we can just
Yeah.
train and focus our time on that, where we probably we can't do other things, like, but the other things we don't want to do, like, we don't want to have a massive car, we don't want to have Gucci clothes, we don't have this and that. And it's just like all the materialistic things which are just gonna put more stress on your mind
Yeah,
because you need to pay them
I wouldn't
off
mind a
or
Gucci talk
having
back then.
a big phone contract. Like, yeah,
Listen
if you're
to
listening, hit
off
us up,
chance
man.
that the Gucci CEO listening.
I'm
Yeah,
joking, I'm
I
joking.
totally agree. I really like wholeheartedly, I'm not just saying this, I do not care in the slightest about having a functional job or like being part of the system that just, oh, I'm gonna work in an office, I'm gonna meet these quotas, I'm gonna get these papers on my boss's desk, blah blah blah. Like there's absolutely nothing about that lifestyle appeals to me, even if I'm making 10 times the amount of money as doing what I'm doing now, or going on outdoor trips, living in a van for a bit. I would much prefer to do that, surround myself with people that I like and I get on with, do something that I am totally passionate about as a job, quote unquote job, rather than a full-on job, make the money, go home, save all the money up, trying to get somewhere, then you get to 60 and it's all your retirement fund and you can't climb anymore. You got arthritis in every joint. But yeah, you got all the money, great. You can get yourself a nice old people's home to rot in. It's a bit of a waste when
Yeah,
you only get maybe 80 years.
I agree.
So what if you're like, well, who
If
knows
you're
now? I'm
lucky,
gonna get some basic.
no, but I feel like a lot of people have that image in their head that they work now and save up money so they can be
It's the
happy
biggest con.
later. Where in reality, yeah, in reality, once you're doing all this work and not doing something you enjoy just for money so you can be happy later, you'll get there and you'll get to retirement or whatever and you'll have a big fund saved up and
Yeah.
you'll just think, what now?
Yeah, you have
'Cause
made
you'll
it.
have no
You have
like
met a goal. Like, I want to
wish.
be a successful businessman. And wow, you worked for 40 years or 30 years, and you're there. You don't feel any different to how you felt the day before. Like, nothing changes.
Yeah, it's not
You're
like
still,
you wouldn't have.
you still got the
You
same problems. You're still not happy or still wasting time that can be spent doing something you actually enjoy, even if it's not as socially acceptable to be a rock climber than a office worker. It doesn't really matter in the long run.
Yeah, but I and then again, if like being a successful businessman is your passion, that's
I
totally
think
different,
that
isn't it? In my
compared to the amount
opinion,
of
at least.
people who would do that if they weren't getting paid, I think that's the best way to define a true passion is if you do it for free.
Yeah.
I don't think, well, I think very, very few
Yeah.
people would work in an office.
Yeah, there's this question which heaps. This question which people ask, and it's like, if you won the lottery, what would you do tomorrow? And like heaps of
Yeah.
people say, oh, I'd get a
No,
job. But if we won the lottery,
I'd just
we wouldn't quit
like
climbing
straight away book a
that.
lot of
Fuck
pro
that.
trips, pay for, like, put money aside for competition for that, and then the rest of it I would try not to look at, and I definitely wouldn't tell anyone because I heard a good study that
Yeah.
was done on people who had won the lottery and people who had been paralyzed. It was like two studies, a year after full paralysis and a year after winning the lottery. The two groups of people rated their happiness levels to be the same, and the satisfaction with life, not the happiness. Yeah, the two groups rated the satisfaction with life to be the same a year after either being paralyzed or winning the lottery. And I think that says that speaks volumes, not
Yeah,
really
man.
about those two very specific cases, but about how, yeah.
About the type of people who win the lottery
No
and
one.
they don't know what they're going to do with it and just they don't have a true passion, so they're just spending money on things which they don't need, they don't want, they don't won't make them
Yeah.
happy in the long run, but maybe short term it brings a
Yeah, I
little
think
taste of
they will
happiness.
have a lot of pleasure still. They will get pleasure out of buying a new yacht or whatever, but there's a big difference between pleasure and happiness or satisfaction with life, I think.
Yeah.
If you're coasting, you're constantly buying new things, you're not going to be particularly happy. But in the moment that they won the lottery, I'm sure they were over the moon. They would have rated their happiness level 10 out of 10 because they've made such a jump, such an increase in their pleasure. But yeah, you can't always
Yeah.
be satisfied. You can't always be enjoying everything. Like, it just doesn't work like that. You have ups and downs ultimately, and that's kind of evolutionarily drilled into us. If you're always happy, you're not going to get anything done, and you're going to die off. So yeah, learning that. or accepting that you can't chase happiness as a like a definitive thing, because it's always running away from you as you get more pleasures in your life. You buy more cars, you buy more expensive suits. It's kind of elusive.
Yeah, yeah. But, and that just becomes the norm as well. And then you get used to that. It's mad.
Yeah.
And then you get numb to all that, what you thought.
Yeah, yeah, you're there. You're
the goal, I guess.
I've arrived. I've met my life's goals. And it doesn't feel any different. As you say, you're completely numb to the sensation because it's, well, nothing's really changed, essentially.
Yeah. But I feel like doing your passion day in, day out is always changing, and just you're enjoying each day as it can.
Well, champion, I want to climb this route, I want to climb that route. But it's not a set thing. I don't want to be anyone different. I don't want to be a successful businessman. I don't want to be this. I don't want to be that. I want to enjoy climbing. If you don't have a destination, you can pick any road, basically. Like, it's easy just to enjoy climbing, enjoy being with the people you get on with most, and enjoy movement, enjoy the sport, and then see where that takes you. Instead of being, I'm going to be world champion, I'm going to sacrifice everything to get there. No, I love climbing, I want to be world champion, I'm going to sacrifice some things to get there, but I'm not going to sacrifice my happiness, I'm not going to sacrifice, like, spending time with my friends and my family. I'm not going to sacrifice all of that just to make one like podium, like, yay, I'm world champion now, but I don't have any friends, I don't have a family that likes anyone, I don't have any of this. You kind of need to find that balance, and the best way to do that is just to find something you enjoy and continue to enjoy it.
In the book I was reading, actually, it spoke about that as well. I don't know if I can find it, but he was saying how success is always sweeter when you have people around you.
Yeah.
Don't sacrifice your friendships and people and your family just for one end goal, which is basically what you just said.
Yeah. Oh, I should write a book.
Yeah, you should. That's actually one of my life goals, man, to write a book.
Oh, I like it.
I swear down. Yeah, bro.
That's the author.
Matt, this is basically one of the chapters, man. We're creating a new chapter.
Ooh, that's metaphoric.
It is, isn't it? Well, we are.
I definitely am in a new area now. I don't have school. I'm a full-time athlete now. It feels That was another reason why I really wanted to get to a good routine, because not only is this, for most people, this is a 2-month thing. For me, this is the foreseeable future. Like, I have to go outside more, but I'm never going to have to go back to school. And all I can do, as I am doing now, is train and chat to people, basically. Like, that is my life for the, well, however long I want it to be, which is going to be quite a while, I think. I'm still loving training, I'm still loving competing, so this is going to be it for a while. I mean, I'm going to move out of York, hopefully, to Leeds with Max, as said earlier, but I'm still going to be doing the same here, just in a different city.
Yeah, man. And it'll be cool once we actually get a house together or whatever. Like, envision just a nice room for for like the podcast, and then another room for like a stretching area and stuff. Then we'll have
a neat mansion, Max.
Come on, we can make it happen.
If there are any millionaires listening to this, we'll set up a Patreon.
Yeah, well, that's what happened with Eddie Hall, isn't it? He got a fucking big businessman to just invest his money. He was just like, how much you want to become the world's strongest man? And he just told him the sum.
Oh, God.
Imagine that opportunity, people being like, okay, I'll give you I'll give you enough money for you to become world champion, Hamish.
Oh, thanks, Max. Where are you getting it from? Who are you
no,
robbing?
Imagine that opportunity. Like, it'd be sick. Like, yeah, you could just do what you like. You could get a house. You could get your... First thing I would do, I would have the best food. So I'd eat the best meat, the organic food.
Yeah.
And then I have ice bath, sauna. And then, yeah, ice bath, sauna, get massages, all that stuff. Ooh. It's not really, you don't need the most Gucciest.
Like, no, you really don't.
Nah.
You only do if you've got something to prove.
Yeah, man. But I feel like for me, like, I do hot and cold, like, every day, ooh, even if it's just in the shower. Because, like, I have baths almost every day. And then I'll go in the bath and I have a hot bath and fill it with Epsom salts. And then after that, I'll go in the shower and then I'll do some rotations of hot and cold. And that's what part of my night routine.
It's important when you're...
Oh, my God. Yeah, it is. And I feel like I sleep so much better from doing that.
Yeah.
And obviously, not every night I can have a bath because I don't have enough time, but I'll have a shower and then I'll put it freezing and really hot and oh, it just feels so good. And like yesterday as well, bro, I was tired. I didn't want to stretch, but I did the stretch and I was like, okay, I'm gonna go for a shower now before I go to bed. And then I had it on hot and it was just nice and I was like, okay, I need to put it on cold now. I still want to do it, but it's a little mental toughness thing for me as well.
Yeah.
Just stand in that shower and have it on the coldest temperature, and
yeah,
I also do a breath hold as well, so you're like, I'm just standing under it holding my breath and all like this. It's sick. I love it.
I found myself doing similar things, like just proving to yourself you can put yourself through hard situations. Like when I'm running, I will say, okay, I could go through, I've done my 30-minute run or whatever, I could go home, or I could do an extra 5 minutes, or I could pick up the pace for the last 5 minutes, or I could run in the sun instead of running over the cool shade over here. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what that says about me, but I've recently found myself just thinking, okay, I'm not going to take the easy option. Like, making a conscious decision to put myself out of my comfort zone. I guess what.
Yeah, man.
I'm so comfortable at the moment. I've got a nice house I'm living with my parents. I'm getting food made most nights. I've got a very easy life. It's probably a good thing when you have to make up your own discomfort.
That is. I do that similar thing as well. Like, you know, I was going for runs and it was like 19 degrees and this was kind of not... all my choice, because I didn't realise it was so hot, but I was in my thermal, in my jacket, hood up in a hat as well, and I was drenched, but like, yeah, you just, it makes it that little bit harder.
Yeah.
And the other week as well, I've been really into my breathing as well as meditation, and I just, my whole 30-minute run, I just did nasal breathing, which is hard.
I can't physically.
Yeah, I know you've always got a cold, bro. But
I don't want to,
like,
yeah.
for people listening, like, it's so important not to just breathe through your mouth.
Like, thanks, Max.
And breathe into your belly, not your chest as well. Like, try it now. Just take a big deep breath through your nose and let your belly expand and let out. Like, that's how you should be breathing. And be more, I didn't even know this, and then I was reading a podcast about it, and it's just, you just oxygenate your body a lot more, and I've been testing it out and stuff, and mixing it in with mouth breathing and stuff like that. It's cool.
Well, I've been trying to mix meditation with running recently, which is a lot easier when it's quiet outside, and you're not constantly getting distracted by people or dogs running after you, or all of that, I'm just like picturing like all the sensory input going in through my eyes and just block it, not having to process it, just letting it all take care of itself, like instinctually, and just running and trying to have a completely clear mind. And I can only do it for maybe a minute at a time or 30 seconds at a time at the moment, because it's so hard. There's constantly new things, like birds flying in front of you, or there's a pothole or whatever, but just trying to block it all out and trust your
instincts.
Do that, because I think that will have a big impact in general. Like in climbing, it's quite easy to,
in competitions.
It's quite easy to overthink a move, and like in leads especially, I find I'll read it from the ground and I'll get there different, and you panic a bit. You're like, oh, this doesn't feel right. Oh, I thought it'd be different. And then as soon as you start doubting your instinct and your natural ability to climb through the sequence, you hesitate and you don't put 100% effort in and you fall. So yeah, being able to block out your own internal voice is quite a powerful tool if you can successfully do that and learn to trust that your instinct is just as competent as your conscious self.
For sure, I agree with that a lot. I do. I was playing about this with yesterday as well. I was listening to Paul Check, and he was speaking about, I don't know how much I believe this stuff, but I'll listen. I'll keep listening. I find him interesting, and he's speaking about connecting with that subconscious feeling and your soul, even. And you ask yourself a question, and you sit there, and you try and, like, you don't answer it with your brain, but you get the answer from within. And it was weird, like, it's cool. And that's kind of like your reptilian brain, which I was speaking to Mark about yesterday. And that's just your instincts. And with your running, you're not, what you're speaking about, you're not processing it through your brain. Your conscious self, but you are through your subconscious.
Yeah, to me it feels like a spectrum or a continuum. Like, you have your reptilian brain that does all of its instinctual processes, and then you have your completely conscious brain that you think with, like, you rationalize with and all that. But I mean, there's definitely spaces in between that. Like when I'm running, I'm definitely not fully instinctual, because I'm not been practicing or trying to do it for so long, but I'm definitely not fully conscious when you get in a rhythm and you're not focusing. So yeah, it's interesting to try and find the right space in between. Like, I think it was definitely Bruce Lee. He's my lock screen. I should know this quote. He was saying that the most important thing in movement is having the successful combination of natural instinct and control, which is basically what we've just been saying for 10 minutes, summarized in one sentence. The successful combination of those. So you said you're not a mechanical man, and you're still a human being. Like, you're in the space between science and natural instinct, like, you're
having that ego,
because
if you did not have everyone has an ego, and that's just your personality. So if you didn't have that ego and that, like, instinct, then we would all, there'd be nothing in it. Like, we'd be the same, there'd be no feeling.
And that's not the aim. It's not,
I get that.
You're not trying to make yourself a machine or just like a something that just like in climbing, you don't want to be too mechanical. You don't want to process, like, okay, there's a move, I'm going to move my right hand there. Like, that doesn't work. You need to have harmony between that, realizing what you need to do, and then trusting your body to execute it.
Come on, for sure. Ah, oh, sick. I love just speaking about this stuff, you know.
It's good.
And it just feels like so much people are not speaking about this as in depth as we do as well.
Yeah.
I don't think they are.
I don't think so. I don't know for the market.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And that's just,
it's not cool. That easy to talk about sometimes. It's quite, you have to be completely involved in the sport for quite a long time to understand all the intricacies of it like this. Like if I just started, like I don't know, some other sport like hockey or something, I wouldn't be able to speak in depth the sports psychology of hockey, even if I'd read up on it. You have to have experienced it in different circumstances, training, competition, to have a like a true innate understanding of how it feels, what's actually happening in your head, what's happening in your body, all of that.
Yeah, man. What was it? The other week I was speaking with Ellie, and she was just telling me about, like, we're speaking about running, and she was saying, oh yeah, so I'm trying not to twist whilst I run because it's more biomechanically efficient. And I was just like, I was so humbled because all the things we know about climbing, all these intricacies, what we
Yeah.
speak about, there's that for
Yeah.
every other sport and everything, and we know so
Yeah.
little. You know what I mean? Like, no matter how much you know and understand, you don't know. You
Yeah.
know
I
nothing,
mean, that's
basically.
just in sports as well. Like, the intricacies of, I don't know, playing the violin or something are so foreign to me. I've never picked up a violin in my life. I could not even guess at like small details about how to improve my violin because I've got absolutely no knowledge of it. That's because
Yeah.
we have one thing that we focus on in our life, which is climbing, really. That's like you don't have time to be like a professional at multiple things or the elite level
Everything.
of multiple things. Why I guess some people probably have that ability, but it's very rare.
Yeah, for sure. Because I feel like you get that, there's natural talent, and then there's anomalies, isn't
Yeah.
it?
It's a mixture of talent and hard work.
Hard work, for sure.
Yeah. It's interesting because you can also you can attribute genetically and you can attribute hard work genetically and circumstantially. And you just left the question what is actually down to. I guess that's just getting into determinism. That's not a particularly fun
Yeah, no.
topic. Let's not make this a philosophy podcast.
I know, I know.
Maybe
We'll
we
try
can.
not to, but yeah. Well, I feel like everything's a philosophy, isn't it?
That's a
Everything you
philosophy in
do.
itself.
Whilst, yeah. Oh
Oh
my
my.
days. But what I was gonna say that yeah, I was saying we know so little for other things, but still in climbing we have so much to
Yeah.
learn, and we're learning all the time. Like since joining Precision, I've learned
Yeah.
so much about myself and just
Yeah.
climbing. Like I trained whole of last year, I trained super hard, but I might have not trained effective, but
Yeah.
as I think I got pretty lucky with tapering off and stuff for world
I think
champs, I
every
think,
session you
because
do is a campus session or one arms.
I bro, don't tell them the secrets. Nah, I'm
Those were the
joking.
secret. Those were
Yeah, man.
fleeking in, hoping that it works out, I think. But now with
But I remember.
you know what's going on a lot more. I think it's trying to
Well, yeah, I always ask I ask questions a lot, and it's like I ask questions to learn, not to question mark, if you get
It's
me.
another question
Because
mark.
it's like, yeah, you should, like, bro, he's a genius. He
Knows
knows his
shit
shit,
about
you know.
everything.
Yeah, literally. Literally. Man, look, I was a little kid from Tory, and it's mad that I've came here, and he's just like, you think I would have known all these like words and just this the mindset I have
Yeah,
without coming
all the
here?
precision
Nah.
athletes are the misfits.
It's
The strong misfits.
the dropouts, the kids, that's funny.
Yeah, oh, it takes a bit of craziness to stick to a training plan that market only gives you. am to not question it.
Yeah. For sure, innit? For sure. I was doing conditioning with Ellie last night. We were doing some like calisthenics training or whatever, and it was well. I was well surprised with how like strong she was. Like, yeah, like she doesn't really train. Like, she's running. She's doing running, and she's like an incredible runner and stuff. And she's dedicated at that. But she was doing like upper body stuff, and she hasn't climbed or trained that often. I'm like, wow. You're a beast.
It's funny when we're all training together and like Marco said, like, forms like a little bit off there. And they're like, oh, how do you like what's wrong with it? It'll just get on and just absolutely smash out the reps on this conditioning set that we've all been struggling with. Like, how? He's just like got the perfect, like, I guess because it's his own training. He knows the exact muscle groups that he wants you to develop to be a better climber, and he will test it all out on himself first. So he's just, and then he just have trained the right things for so long. Like, a lot of people train hard but not particularly smart. Like, they'll just go and do bad form pull ups week in, week out and expect to get stronger, but when you've spent your whole life for climbing career, I guess, doing the correct exercises with perfect form, you've got to be good at them. That was a long on.
I wondered why you stopped then mid sentence, and all I heard was your snot coming out your
Sorry,
nose.
Everyone. I can't hear it.
I had some topics down in my book, and we don't even need to hit all
we'll
the
see,
topics,
yeah.
Man.
Okay, so we can end this one pretty soon. Topics
for sure.
I want to ask, like, just message us, or I don't really know where we're going to post this yet, but wherever we do, comment or message me and Max individually to say what topic you want to cover, be as specific as you like. If you want any guests on, we could probably sort that out. So, just get in touch.
Yeah, get in touch and let us know what you just want to hear and how you thought this podcast went as well, and if you enjoyed it, basically. And we'll go follow our new Instagram page, which is dedicated to this podcast.
We'll put it in the bio or whatever. What is it? What's it called, Max? You don't remember? Yeah.
The Projection Podcast.
Posting that, updating when we're going to release it. All that, and again, big shout out to Cameron Smith. We'll put his Instagram wherever we post it as well. Let's get him to 1,000 followers. He said that was his goal for the year. I don't think he's been too serious, but let's do it anyway. Big up Cam.
Yeah, he made big up Cam for making that sick beat at the start of the pod. It's cool.
What guy? Sweet.
What a guy.
Well. Nice to talk to you, Max. I will probably talk
nice
to you
talk
a lot
to you as well, man.
Between now and the next episode, but
I'm sure we'll still
if we touch on anything interesting, I'll put it in notes and then we can chat about it.
Okay.
Sweet. Well, thanks for listening, and hopefully see you next time.
Thanks for listening. See you next time. In a bit.